Let me ask you a question. Are you thirsty this morning? Are you thirsty? Now, I don't know if we ever really get that thirsty. But when you're in the Judean wilderness at noon, that's thirsty. That's, have you ever just been so thirsty you're just about to lose your mind? Let me just read some scriptures over you that are not in the bulletin. I want you to listen to this. It's one of my favorite psalms. Listen to it. Psalm 42, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, and with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me. And my prayer unto the God of my life will be, I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say daily, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Can someone say amen? Are you thirsty as the deer, the heart, lusts after water? David said, I'm thirsty for you, Lord, just for you, not the stuff you give. Not the things you do. I love you for you. Listen to this. Listen to another thirsty man. Let me read it to you. Just let the word of God flow over you. In Judges chapter 15, verse 14 says, when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax and were burnt with fire, and his bands were loosed from his hands, and he found the new jawbone of a donkey and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. Look at verse 17. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast the jawbone out of his hand and called the place Ramoth Lehi. And he was sore athirst. He's dying of thirst. I guess killing 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey make you a little thirsty, a little peckish. He's exhausted. He's spent. He has not one ounce of strength. His eyes getting dim. He's about to die. He's so thirsty. And he called on the Lord. And he said, listen, somebody's saying this today. Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? You ever been serving God your whole life and doing everything you knew to do, trying to do the next right thing, and you're exhausted, just about to die, and you think, am I going to die? Is this all going to fall apart? And I want you to see what the thirsty man received. Verse 19, but God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Someone say amen. And when he had drunk literally deeply, his spirit came again and he revived, whereupon he called the name of the place En-Hakkore, which is in Lehi to this day. En-Hakkore means the spring of the one who called, the spring of the one so thirsty he begged and God made a way. Did you know, blessed, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are they, happy are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I want to talk today, and it isn't even our text. You know, I think that we hear a lot about holiness, whatever you think that is. I think holiness is just a thirsty person. I want to get a shirt that says, I'm not holy, I'm just old. Sometimes people think you've grown and matured, or you're holy because you got a little, you know, you got a little snow on the mountain, right? You got your hair, and people think, oh, look at, they've been around a few decades. I can't, you know what? They don't know our hearts. We just can't run that fast anymore. I don't believe holiness is quite what we always think of when we, No. Holy people are just so thirsty, and they know that they're not the source in the well, and every well they've been drinking from hadn't given them anything, and they finally fall and surrender to God like David just did and said, I'm going to die without you. And we walk by and see them kneeling down over a rock going, oh, they must pray 17 hours a day. No, they're just so tired of themselves. They've so hit an end of their own strength that they're desperately thirsty sitting in front of a well. I want to talk about two ladies today. Go ahead and bring up the text in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. We're going to talk about Mary and Martha this morning, and we're going to talk about choosing the good part. The Lord is always and only saying one thing to you, and that's what we need to sharpen our ear to hear. You can't do everything, but you can do one thing. Amen? You can't do a million things. You're not as pretty as they are. You're not as talented as you wish you would have been. You didn't stand evidently in the right line when you were born. And whatever you have. But let me tell you, loved one, you can do the next right thing that God has assigned you to do. You don't need to have your eyes on the ends of the earth, worrying about everything. Do the next right thing. God will only give you enough light to take the next right step. You notice the lights in your car just shine directly in front of you. Or if they were that powerful, they'd blow everybody off the freeway and kill everybody. God gives you just enough light. Have you noticed that? Now, I hear some Christians talk like they're getting light all the time, like God's given 30 years worth of light. You know what? He didn't give me anything in advance. He gives me just enough light to take the next right step. And sometimes it looks like I'm going off a cliff. Well, I want us to focus for just a few minutes on two different pictures of God, Mary's God picture and Martha's God picture. One's right, one's wrong. Did you know you can belong to the Lord and be an absolute mess? Amen. Now, I think there's two types of people. I think there are people that are, maybe we call them 99% complete people. They're mature. They weren't beaten when they were, you know, they were just responsible. They're functional. There seems to be everything fine. And they accept Jesus, and it's like they go right on into greatness. Have you ever noticed they grow as fast as they want to grow? Then there's other people that are 99% an absolute mess, irresponsible nut, and they accept Jesus as Savior and are gloriously saved, but they sort of continue the way they continue. There are different views of God that come forth from our lives. Did you know that? You know, one of the most horrible things I ever heard someone said, you may be the only Jesus someone sees. I thought, well, pack it up now and let's go. You know what I mean? You know, when you really think about that, we are a window to eternity, and we sometimes, God forbid, and has, are the only Jesus someone's ever going to see. So what do they see when they look through us? For weeks, we've been talking about the theme of safety, the beauty of safety. Safe people aren't perfect people. They're just open and in process and honest and flexible and teachable and relatable. They're not perfect. But you want to be around safe people because you can't grow in a secure manner when you're in an unsafe place. And sometimes church can be the most unsafe place on earth. Come on. Now, we're going to look at two ladies that's going to prove my point. They both are believers, and they love the Lord, and Jesus, it's a simple story, Luke 10, verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. God bless Martha. Praise God. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. When's the last time you told the Lord what to do? You call it prayer. Huh? My will be done, my kingdom come right now, as it is in Craigdom. Lord, don't you care? that my sister's left me to do all the work by myself. Tell her to help me. Have you ever been, when the last time you told the Lord what to do? All right. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Jesus is with his disciples. He is on a time, short time schedule. He comes into town. He walks into the home of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and he's going to be there for a short time. But he is present in the house. Now, Mary, one of the sisters mentioned here, she immediately assumes the position of a slave and sits at the feet of Jesus, a symbol of rest, sensitivity, openness, a true response to the presence of Jesus. She wants him. See, I don't think Mary was necessarily the holiest of the two sisters. I think she was the thirstiest. Did you know thirsty people, they'll drink from many different wells, and they try to make it. Have you ever just tried? You got a legitimate need. You meet it in an illegitimate way, and that wasn't it. And oh, my Lord, and you've been drinking from muddy wells, and you've been drinking Clorox, and you've been drinking God knows what. But you finally get to an end of yourself, and you go, my thirst is all consuming. I cannot meet my own needs. I've been everywhere. I've seen every movement. I've heard every tape. I've seen every... I've heard more sermons than God ever anointed anyone to give. Most of them weren't, but, you know, I've heard so many. I've drunk from so many wells, so many movements that you're always looking for the newest, truest, best, blessed thing. And did you know Mary, in the presence of Jesus, immediately submits in a posture of rest. And she is relationally face-to-face with the one who is the bread of life, the one who is the living water. But Martha's in the kitchen. Totally different response. Jesus is here. Against one of the servants, Jesus is here. Martha goes, good. And she needed to be flagged. Now she's in the kitchen making something, clanging the pots, trying to find the seasoning. See, Martha has it all figured out how the thing is going to go and what's going to happen when the Lord is in her house and she is taking charge. Have you ever just had too many of your own plans? Have you ever thought, I've got this thing. I'm managing this thing. Jesus, sit down. Where's Mary? Come on, everybody, move. Get the broom. Get the mop. Get the... Martha is in the kitchen making noise. And notice, she's cooking meals that Jesus hasn't ordered. Are you cooking any meals Jesus hasn't ordered you to cook? He would rather feed than be fed. Martha's trying to bless him. Martha thinks in her heart that she's doing stuff valuable, and your food is good. Nothing wrong with preparing food, cleaning your house. Those that be responsible. You know, we want the balance. We want worship and activity and all that. But this isn't what the message is about. Mary exudes a portrait, a God picture that is appropriate. Her posture is appropriate. She realizes we can always do the dishes later. I must tend not to the good thing, but the best thing. Did you know the enemy of best is always good? It's not evil. I don't know any Christians that wake up in the morning and say, how can I hair-lip the plan of God for the universe in my personal life? Never. I have never met a Christian that says, I'm going to go and undo every seed God has planted in everybody's heart and be a quench to the Holy Spirit. No! We make choices between best things and good things. And did you know if it's not the best thing and it's just a good thing, it's an evil thing for you?
Well, he's a good man.
Well, he may be. But the enemy of best is always good. Martha is cooking good food in a good pan, in a good kitchen with a good idea, but she is absolutely wrong. Her God picture is involved in works. Works, pedaling a bike of good works. And you're stationary. It's like running on a treadmill for 9 years. You haven't gained an inch. Loved one, it's the grace of God throughout by which you have been saved. It's a posture of Mary, rest, peace, devotion relationally to Jesus. And Martha is making noise. She's actually making Jesus' visit grievous to him. He's just there for a minute. He's just there to do the kingdom work. As soon as he walks in, he starts talking. Mary sits down, and they're having church. And Martha, have you ever noticed that even well-intentioned Christians will get mad at God and you when things are not done their way? Martha's mad at God, mad at Mary, working herself up, and she comes in and dares to tell the Son of God, Lord of glory, you tell my sister to get her butt back in this kitchen and help me out. I don't know why I'm doing all this stuff. I'm overburdened. And she's just at the seminar. Can you hear it? Martha is telling Christ his business, what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, and she's angry while she's saying it. Now, I don't know about you. I was raised in a house where conflict was a bad thing. I walked in eggshells. When storms started in my house, I just began to weave and dance. And I was the last born, typical. I was the comedian, still am. Had to keep everybody where they needed to be. As soon as Mama got to Daddy, I had to get right in there and tap dance and juggle chainsaws on fire to keep everybody. See what I'm saying? So when confrontation is a bad thing to you, when someone gets mad, you immediately think, well, they're mad. I got to fix this. You don't need to fix religious people that are mad at God and are mad at you, mad at him because he's not doing it their way fast enough, and mad at you because you're daring to sit down and choose the good part and say, Lord, I'm thirsty. See, I think Mary was thirstier than Martha. I think Mary saw her need. Martha didn't. Martha still thought she'd cook something up. Has anyone ever brought you a meal you didn't order? They spend 9 hours looking for a lime green shirt that doesn't fit you to give you. And they watch you while you open it. And you go, oh, a lime green shirt that doesn't fit me that it took you 9 hours to find. And they're waiting, see? Because they just cooked you up a meal you didn't order, and you never would. If it was on the menu, you'd cut it out. You know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry you spent 9 hours, and I'm sorry you thought lime was a good color for me that doesn't fit, but thank you. Thanks. Thank you. And then they go, oh, he liked it. I'll go do it again. Martha has it all down. Martha thinks she knows the will of God. Martha's going to order Mary around and Christ around. You know, I've always found when I'm ordering Jesus around, he's very quiet. Christ has nothing to say to people who aren't thirsty. In fact, he said, if I say it a second time, you can hear me. I wanted him to take into the Pharisees when I studied the New Testament for the first time. Come on, Lord, give them an ironclad argument. Knock them down. Win the day. And he just goes, if you didn't hear John, you're not going to hear me. If I say it once, you're going to hear it when I say it a second time. Nope. Jesus was unperturbed by Martha's madness and anger. Sometimes I think we're doing so much for God in his name that he has never asked us to do, has never required us to do, and we got to be mad at somebody. Well, I'm going to be mad at you then. But mad people are scary because they're storming around and they're to Jesus, tell her to get in here, and who do you think you are? And I'm in the kitchen all by myself. You know what? This bluster, that may impress people, but it doesn't impress God. He can smile through your bluster and wait for you to assume the position of choosing the best thing over a good thing. The best thing is him, Jesus himself. Hearing what he has to say, just the next right thing. You don't need to hear the entire plan of redemption and the end times and the whole, my Lord. I've got end time maps I got lost in. I walked in one of them once and I couldn't get out for 3 years. Do you notice Martha's all worried about the non-issues? Food is good in its right place, but if you worship it as a god, it's an idol and must be destroyed. See, everything relationally together. Put the proper alcohol in the car, won't freeze up. Put alcohol in the nut behind the wheel, and that's a bad relationship of two good things. Right? You can have two good things that are in bad relationship to one another. Good knife, good head, knife in head. Bad relationship between the knife and the head. Nothing wrong with the knife, nothing wrong with my head. But when you put good things in bad relationship, all of a sudden, it's all wrong. Everything's wrong. Martha is representing a God who, like I tell some of my friends, Jesus almost loves you. I like to tell the servers, God almost loves you. Just do one more project. Now, doesn't that sound absurd? But that's Martha's God picture. Martha's saying, God loves me because of my works, and I'm going to do these works, and I'm going to cook them the meal I want to cook, and I'm going to force it down Jesus' throat. And Jesus goes, honey, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. That's my breakfast and lunch. I don't need what you are trying to impose on Mary and me. You know, this is one time Jesus stands up for somebody and says, stop it. Stop it. He had to rebuke Martha because Martha's God picture is false. If you make people think that God loves them if, when, and but, rather than period, and his son took the price, and we're dealing from grace, then you're stepping into works. And works can never save you. People, you have to people please by doing more and more, and I'll put some more paprika in next time. I'll buy you even a smaller lime green shirt, Craig. No. No. So you don't like my gifts? No, it's not that. It's just, you see how convoluted it gets when you're Martha? You can't win an argument with them. You can't. They're just going crazy, expending all their energy on meaningless activity in the moment. What is the needful thing? Jesus said, Martha, you're troubled about many things, honey. You're like this all the time. And notice Mary and Martha greeted him at the door. Mary was helping her, but then Mary sat down and left Martha over encumbered. Did you know when you obey God and do the best thing and sit at his feet, you're going to upset somebody because you're going to have to leave some busy works that everybody was overburdened with, and you're going to have to just get out from underneath that weight. Oh, thank God. And you'll leave them with too much. But obey him and choose the good part. And choose the best thing. And let your thirsty, just bring you, your thirstiness bring you to the well. Mary, I don't think, was super holy. I just think she's really thirsty. And she saw her need. She knew cooking a new flambé spiritually is not going to get her saved. Have you tried it? Pedaled the bike of righteousness until you're just about killed everybody around you. The Pharisees and the doctors of the law knew all of the Bible, committed it to memory, and committed the commentaries on the Bible to memory. So there's no better Bible people than people that crucified the Lord of glory. In their kitchens, cooking up every theological concept and drawing triangles and tabernacles. And oh my Lord, they just knew the letter of the law, and they knew where every bit of paprika was. They knew where every pan is. And they're cooking all kinds of meals that God isn't even ordering. Dear friend that I love so much, Pastor Rick David used to say, you know, when someone's heart is broken and their child just died, you don't want to give them a teaching on the tabernacle. Now, 15 cubits by... When your heart is broken, you don't need Mary songs sung over you, the Bible says. And you don't need Leviticus just then. When the knife is removed from your soul and you heal up a little, then maybe you'll gain a thirst and a hunger for that deep teaching on the Holy of Holies that you built to scale and dress yourself in the high priest's garments to come out. It's a good message. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with anything God has done. But there's a time and a place for everything. Everything is beautiful in its season. Mary caught it. I'm thirsty. He is the water of life. He's the well. I'm going to sit right here in a posture of receptivity and relationship. And Martha kept juggling the chainsaws on fire while on a unicycle going over Niagara Falls and is mad that Jesus and Mary are not out there with her, throwing her the flaming chainsaws. Look at all I'm doing. Can't you at least come out? No. No, Martha. No. Loved one, the Martha spirit portrays a view of God that is false. It's like a nervous man teaching on peace. You know what I mean? It just, there's something. Doesn't, you know what I mean? He's saying the right words, and it is in the Bible, but my God. God loves you and has a plan for your life. You know, it's like, okay. Really? Well, I think I'll go back into the bar. Thank you. Loved one, we need to become more like Mary. We need to be thirsty souls at the well. We need to be windows to eternity that people can trust. We're not perfect, but we're in process. And we're giving him the glory, and we're not trying to get people in a kitchen cooking and teaching them about pans and paprika when their hearts are broken. Jesus is always condemning only one group, the professed religious experts. You never see him saying to harlots and tax collectors, see, they're thirsty. They see their need. They are crying out like the publican saying, God, have mercy on me. I'm not even worthy to lift my head to you. And Jesus says, that's Mary, and she will go away justified. But Martha, Lord, have mercy. Have you ever just been a Martha? We've all been Mary and Martha, but my God, let's be Mary. Let's choose the right God picture in the next little while. I have a feeling God's trying to make us thirsty. So what does that mean? Well, blessed are those that thirst, because they shall be filled. If you're not thirsty, there's nothing to fill. There's no space. Does God have enough room to move in your heart? Or are you thinking what you've been thinking for 30 years and never changed a thing? Martha, calm down, sweetheart. Calm down. I'm doing God's work. We'll calm down in heaven. And can you believe her sitting out there? Oh, Miss Holy, Miss Holy. Uh-huh. She's at every seminar, every time the door is open, and guess who does the kitchen work? Martha, Martha, you are troubled like this all the time. But Mary's chosen the best thing over your good thing, and it will not be removed from her. Back off. That's not God. That's not God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Martha, nothing that you're portraying with regard to a God picture is correct. Go back in your kitchen or sit down where you belong. But Mary, I'm protecting her. Isn't it good that God will rise up to protect you? You're finally doing the will of God, and there's somebody mad in the kitchen. Happens every time. Father, I surrender my life to you, and I'm going to move forward in my... Would you get back in this kitchen? You know, people, places, things, circumstances, tyranny of the urgent. They want to grab you and pull you back into the kitchen. And you're in with a chef's hat and an apron going, I just don't feel fulfilled in here. I don't know why. You don't feel fulfilled? Don't make that confession. What? What? Your hair will go on fire. It's like, oh my God. Oh, another thing I can't do. Another thing I do. Martha is wrong. Sorry. When you're around Martha's, you get nervous. You know, if you say you have mumps, but you have measles, you communicate measles. You can say you have mumps, but you communicate what you are. Sorry. There are mumps. Okay, well, you can scream it from the mountaintop, but we've all got measles. So you communicate what you are. Martha is well-intentioned, and I'm not saying she's an unbeliever. They're both in the house of God, but you know Mary is the proper God picture. Let's do the next right thing. Let's choose the good part. Let's be in relationship to Jesus. Let's hear. Let's hang on every word. Martha isn't even interested in hearing what Jesus has to say. She wants to lecture him. Most of our prayer meetings, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you. Now, down to beeswax. Lord, you will, in the next 90 days, pay my rent. And you will get in this kitchen right now. Come on, Lamb. Come on. In your name. In your name, get in here. Isn't that horribly offensive? That's what Martha was doing. We do it all the time. Give me, my name's Jimmy. But we put our petition. Do you know prayer is not a means by which we get our will done in heaven? It's a means by which God gets his will done on earth. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. I'm just thirsty. I'm just going to stay here by the well. I know my needs so well. I see you, Jesus, as the well. I choose the best thing over a good thing. I want to be thirsty. I don't want to stay in your presence. Thirst will make you stay at the well. You know, thirsty people never leave the well. They just stay by the well. Everybody runs off after every new movement. Have you heard this guy? Oh, he's amazing. Oh, have you heard that word? You know how many movements I've lived through in my Christian life? About 45 movements. From the shepherding movement to the deliverance movement to the worship movement to the youth movement to the men's movement to the women's movement. I've got to lay down just now. And everyone claimed their piece of the pie was the whole pie. Isn't that true? Come on. What you feel called to, you think is the piece of the pie that is the whole pie. Your piece of the pie is one piece of the pie. It isn't the whole pie. That's worth $2,000 in the offering this morning right there. Amen. Balance. Your piece of the pie is your piece of the pie. It isn't the whole pie. There's one truth in every movement that comes through. Eat the hay, spit out the sticks, get that truth and that piece of the pie, then move on to the next. But see, Martha is just living in a perpetual state of going and doing and acting and learning. And I know some people that really ought to calm down and sleep for 2 days and drink some water and have a nice chicken dinner rather than reading any more Bible. You know, you can be an addict and have toxic faith. You can go 500 Bible studies a week, and that's just as the same as going to the bar every night. You're driven. Do you understand? I know this fine line to draw here. Well, we need to be active. Yes, we do. We need to be quiet too. Yes, we need to be both and, not either or. But Jesus puts his sanction on Mary, and he says, it's always right to be a thirsty soul at the well, satisfied relationally with me. You don't need to do that kind of stuff. When you find yourself mad in the kitchen, get out of the kitchen and go sit down at the feet of Jesus. Just go sit down. You can be mad at him. I think he's a little amused. Now, you know, I've had the privilege of raising a few children. And you know, when babies get mad at you, they get mad, madder than a hornet. Remember that? Madder than a hornet. But you know, if you hold them on your lap and you just love on them and you let them be mad and say, it's okay, you can be mad. I'm all right. I'm the adult. There's got to be at least one adult in the room at all times for a relationship to occur. Rather, I love seeing going to Walmart and watching four-year-old moms argue with four-year-old girls. You ever been an adult, found yourself 4 years old, screaming? No, you're not going to get that doll. I'm the mother and I'm in charge. It's like, no, you're both four, walking around with a dirty diaper. We do that religiously. We do that spiritually. We can think after a while, like Martha, that it's all about good things, not the best thing. But you know what? I don't have enough years left to learn everything about everything. I can't go everywhere, but I can do the next right thing God requires me to do. I can, with his help, get enough light to take one step. You can't do everything, but you can do the one thing. I just would encourage you today, just when you're by yourself later, it's nobody's business. What is the good part? What is the one thing the Lord has been gently calling you to? It doesn't have to be a correction or a rebuke in horror. Do you know God never reacts in horror over your sin? You do. Well, I do. But you know, there's nothing that takes him by surprise where he goes, you know, I think he's going to do that when I get into heaven. Just go, just kidding. Just kidding, Craig. Just kidding. Oh, no. Look what he did again. God is never surprised by you. From eternity, he knew every side road you'd ever take in your life, planned for it to bring you right back on the thoroughfare of destiny. Loved one, he isn't shocked by your disobedience, by your secret little sin. Do you know sometimes you go to church and you look better, but you're doing worse. Sometimes you go to a 12-step group and you look worse, but you're doing better. As you're telling the truth about yourself. You're saying, I'm thirsty, I see my need, I need God, just God. And loved one, that's all he requires is that we listen to him. My sheep hear my voice and they will not follow another. Maybe a little subjective, but homework this week, I want you to just spend some time with the Lord. Just don't do anything spiritual or close your eyes or bow down. I mean, take a walk or ride your motorcycle or act like it is somewhat of a normal relationship of discussion. You know, don't press your eyes to see the funny lights or fast for 9 days and just go out and say, Lord, what is the good part for me? What's the best thing? What is it that your spirit would say to me right now? What is it? Now, if it is a correction, you know, he is the most gracious at correction. You'll fall out of a boat of truth into an ocean of grace. He's so gracious. Isn't it wonderful when gracious people correct you? Isn't that just beautiful? You can humiliate a child. I remember a dear brother in the Lord named John Dawson told me, he said, you know, Craig, I was at a little Cub Scout thing and they were trying to do the flint and the fire and the wood. And there was one little kid that had the flint and it was working. Bang. You know, everything was on fire. He was on fire. The tent was on. You know, he was doing a great job. There was another little kid with his flint. He could not get a spark. He could not, you know, and Christ would have returned and set up the millennial kingdom before he ever got anywhere. And John Dawson said, he said, now, Craig, you know, he got a little bit of spark. And this, he said, now, I could have said, you stupid, ugly thing, you're never going to do anything right. Or I could get down and help blow in the fire and the spark that he did have to encourage it. Loved one, the Messiah, a bruised reed, he will never break. Dimly burning flax, barely surviving, he will never quench. Mary's right. Martha's wrong. I just pray we're going to be a company of Marys. Lord, I see my need. I'm no better than anybody. I need you so desperate, I just got to bow down before you. Can we just close our eyes for a moment? Do you know how much he loves you? Jesus loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. He gave himself in your place. And he walks in like he did to this home. And he just walks in full of grace and truth, acceptance and love. And if you just bow down before him and say, Lord, I'm sick of myself. I'm sick of every well I've been drinking from. It just doesn't satisfy. He says, I'm the bread of life. If you drink of me, out of your innermost belly shall flow rivers of living love. And those of you who have been serving him for years, maybe somehow you just stepped into the kitchen a few years ago and you've been sincerely, with a good heart, making all kinds of cupcakes and desserts and meals Jesus has never asked you to make. What a relief to be able to shut everything down he's not in your life. Wouldn't that be a delicious thought? Roll that burden over on him. Throw the pots down. Drop the spices. Take off your apron and walk out with Mary and say, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I've been cooking things up. I've been telling you what to do. I've acted as though I know what is best for my life. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Could we just pass out those elements for communion right now? We're going to go to the table of the Lord just in this moment. And if you don't understand that, that's okay. You don't need to partake. If you don't want, you can just take the elements and put them next to you or in your purse or whatever. But this would be a wonderful time for us to just open our hearts and say, Lord, I'm not going to be Martha anymore. I'm getting out of the kitchen. I'm getting out of the kitchen. I'm out of the kitchen now. I'm just going to sit at your feet, choose the best thing for my life. And did you know the best thing is going to be the most effortless, beautiful, light thing, like a feather? It's going to fit so easy. You're going to go, I've been wearing armor for years, running 60 miles a day. No armor? You're going to feel so much better kneeling at his feet. I just want us to challenge our hearts, our own hearts. We know us. As we look at the blood and the body of our Lord, this will be a point of contact to say, I don't want to be Martha anymore. Lord, forgive me and cleanse me for any meals that I'm making that you haven't ordered. Forgive me for doing stuff to you and others that other people are not blessed by. I'm going to give up all my plans and throw my recipe box out the window, and I'm going to get simple again. I may be the Church of Ephesus, and I know of dot every I and cross every T and know all the D, but if Jesus said, but you're not in love with me anymore. Not sad words, he said to the church at Ephesus. You're doing everything you believe is right, but you're not in love with me anymore. Mary was in love with him. Martha just got busy. Jesus took the cup, and it was such a significant night. He changed the whole game, and he said, this is my blood shed so that I can have covenant union with you and forgiveness. Let's ask God for his cleansing. Let's partake. Lord, forgive me for being like Martha. Forgive me for doing works in my own name and in my own strength. Lord, I renounce the mindset that someday, somehow, some way you'll receive me if I do another thing or if I stop doing a certain thing. Thank you, Lord. You already accept us in the beloved, Ephesians 1:3. It's the most difficult thing for Christians to accept. They're accepted. I speak acceptance to you through the shed blood of the Messiah. I speak cleansing over your life in the name of Jesus. That all of the works and all of your opinions and all the things you've been living by for so many years that are not of the Lord would be dissolved today and released from you in Jesus' name. Lord, let all the barges we've been pulling just cut the rope and let them just sink behind our boat. And thank God for rest. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. Lord, we choose the good part. Give us rest. And Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body. He took all of the beating for me. Let's pray right now for healing as we partake. Go ahead and take the bread. Jesus, we thank you for the forgiveness of our sins, but we praise you even now that you would do a deep work in our minds, our emotions, even in our bodies, oh God. In all the parts of our lives, let your shed blood and your broken body be our life, our bread, our well. As the deer pants for the water, we long for you. Release the burdens that we bear and make it an easy yoke in Jesus' name. Could we sing the song that is so apropos for today? As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Oh, you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Let's sing the third verse. You are want more than gold and silver. Only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone, oh, you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Bless his name, bless his name, bless his name. Oh, he loves you. I hope you were encouraged today. I'm telling you, sometimes the truth hurts, then it sets you free. Did you notice that? Sometimes it bites a little bit, but it's good to be bitten by the grace of God and the mercy of God. David said, let the righteous smite me with kindness. Oil so choice, let not my head refuse. Isn't that wonderful? David said, give me what I need. Tell me the truth. I need everything God has for me, and I'll accept it too. Let's have that heart, that open heart. Amen.